Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. It's just you and me today, and I want to talk about my own fertility journey and coming to a place of being okay with only having one child, which that was something I never expected. But we're nearing the month of November, and I remember 3 years ago almost, when I was about to turn 40, I recorded the episode Fat 40 and Questioning My Fertility. And I was still at that point of feeling unsure, but I think deep down, like, still really desiring the ability to become pregnant again. Not necessarily like I really, really, really want to have another child. I feel like I was tiptoeing into the beginnings of the wave of emotions and roller coaster that comes for some people, not all, with knowing that they are done. So I just wanted to share my story because I was on Instagram over on Plus Mommy, as I often am, and I was hanging out with my friend and her so adorable baby. Like, oh my gosh, I was like, I told my friend Brianna, like, normally with friends, I'm like, you do you, have more kids, don't have more kids. But with her, I'm like, when are you making another baby for me to play with? Because you make such cute babies. But anyways, I was spending time with her and her adorable baby that's now like 6 months. So we're like out of that newborn phase, out of that delicious smell that those newborns have. But now we're into like uber cuteness and playing and laughing together and watching their brains just explode with knowledge as they're touching different textures and ripping your glasses off. But it's all so much fun. But I really enjoyed my recent lunch with Brianna, and I was just sharing on Instagram how I'm really coming to the place of being okay with being one and done, when that was something that we never thought that we would have only one child, and that it finally feels okay. And so I just wanted to openly talk about that because I got such an incredible response from people being like, wow, like, I don't hear people talking about this, or I'm in that place too, or, you know, I'm not there, I'm struggling. And so I just wanted to share what it has been like. And as always, our time together, well, almost always, is completely unscripted. I just got so much feedback from that, like, short Instagram story. I was like, I want to talk about it here on the show. Because it still is bittersweet. Like, I'm talking confidently, but I do feel this still like small pit in my stomach that I think is grief. And that's okay. I feel like I've been grieving the loss of a dream for almost 3 years now. And it all started back in 2010 when my husband Chris and I got pregnant with Brayden. And there was so much uncertainty of what pregnancy in a larger body would look like for me. There weren't a lot of resources online. There was a lot of just doom and gloom. And then I went on to have this completely healthy pregnancy and empowering birth experience where I had the unmedicated birth I desired, supported by midwives and a doula, and my mom was there, and my husband caught our son when I gave birth on my knees. And it was just like this life-altering, transformative, beautiful experience. And I also became a mom. And then, of course, started the blog, which has just changed my whole life and helped to reframe what pregnancy in a larger body can look like, and also that regardless if we incur risks or not, or we have a vaginal birth or a cesarean birth, or we have a loss, that all of those experiences should be normalized and people shouldn't be shamed because of their size. And it has been a beautiful journey. But through that journey, I've also experienced pregnancy loss and infertility and things that have been very painful while through these past 10 years, like almost 12 years now, helping so many other people to get pregnant. So it's been this like beautiful, like I'm so honored to do this work and put the resources that I do out in the world and on the show to hear, hold space for so many beautiful birth stories. And it doesn't hurt on the daily doing this work, but it has hurt in the past spending time with my friends' babies or seeing my friends announce pregnancy announcements on Facebook when I wanted to as well. So after having Brayden and starting Plus Size Birth, Brayden was 2 when we got pregnant again. And then sadly that ended in our first trimester, early on miscarriage around the 6-week mark. And that same week, and I shared all this in the miscarriage story that I've told for the podcast, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But that same week, a few days after we had the loss, I was laid off from my career of over 7.5 years doing end-of-life advocacy work and supporting terminally ill people to have choice at the end of life. And I literally thought, like, that's what I was doing with my life. Like, I loved it. I was a volunteer manager, and I, worked with people around the country, and I got to travel the country doing volunteer trainings. I also got to work to get laws passed around medical aid in dying and work on that political side of things, which was so fascinating. And I learned so much. Looking back now, I know that all set me up for what I've built on my own and how my career has turned to birth work. And I couldn't be more thankful. But losing that, within losing a baby in the first couple of days, I felt completely like my body had failed me. And then I had failed my family because I was the breadwinner. My husband's a baker. He's fantastic. And he's gone to culinary school and he's an incredible cook. But he just doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of money. And so that has always been on my shoulders to provide. And that was the plan, that he was going to be mainly like the parent and I was going to be making the money. And I love that. That's what I wanted. And then I got laid off and had this little 2-year-old, and all of a sudden it's 2008 and the economy is awful. And I kept applying for different jobs and it was just really hard, and trying to emotionally go through a loss. And I blamed myself so much that I never turned to Chris. I never turned to my husband to really grieve together. I felt very disappointed in myself, and I couldn't face him because facing him would like be the reality that I had failed. And he doesn't feel that way at all, but that's where my mind was at the time. So I became like a stay-at-home mom while trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my future. I had a severance package from being laid off, so we had some time. And I, had so many loved ones and my husband also that were just like, you've started something, you need to build it and pursue this. So that's when I became a certified childbirth educator, and the rest is really history. But it was hard to be building this business around pregnancy and birth while after I felt like, you know, okay, we've gone through this loss and we'll just see what happens. And never thinking that was it for us, that we would only have our son, Brayden. And years just went by so fast, so fast. And that's like what I tell people, is if you're thinking about trying to conceive and you're around that age of like 35, like really get some fertility support, have that preconception visit with a care provider, do what you need to do to connect with a size-friendly care team that will take your fertility concerns seriously. But I didn't want to do that. I didn't, you know, had so much mistrust in the medical community, was so tired of being mistreated because of my size. And then before I knew it, I was almost 40. Like, time goes by faster than you will ever, ever, ever imagine. And by that time, I think I shared on that episode when I was about to turn 40 of like, I don't want to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars that we don't even have on fertility treatments if I need something more in depth. But I was still so afraid of being mistreated because of my size and just being completely turned away that I never even went in for a preconception visit. And like, I know I tell people do what I wish I would have done. I know all the things and the statistics, but I am still an imperfect human with my own insecurities. And I never really pursued my own fertility, but I never got pregnant again. 2012 was when we had our miscarriage. So years upon years upon years upon years. I never got pregnant again. And yes, my husband worked nights for a long time, so we weren't as routine with our intimacy. But I would have definitely needed some support with getting pregnant. I've always tracked my periods, so I knew there were some times when we were intimate, when I had ovulated and we didn't get pregnant. But we also really never actively tried again after the loss. There's an episode that Chris came on and we talked really vulnerably and open about the miscarriage and not coming together as partners and the toll that that took on our relationship because Chris was really hurting too. And I didn't give him that space or that time or that compassion to grieve. I selfishly and wrapped up in my own grief just thought it was about me. And looking back, like, it wasn't, right? It was about both of us. We both experienced the loss of a really wanted pregnancy. And so we worked through it, but it took us years to work through it. It took years before Chris was like, yes, like, I would want to have another child. And there was just so much time lost. And I guess that's what I really want people to hear. Listening to this episode, if you're like on that, maybe we'll see what happens, like really, really dig deep into how you're feeling as the years go by, because you can go with the we'll see what happens, go with the flow, maybes, up until you start reaching closer to 40. And statistically, it does become harder to become pregnant. Fertility is not infinite. That's why when so many care providers just turn people away and say you have to lose an astronomical amount of weight before I'll even support you with pregnancy, like, it's just so misfortunate because people don't have forever to get pregnant. And I almost wish someone would have sat me down and been like, okay, Jen, I know being on the fence is more comfortable because it is. It is like, we'll just see what happens. And making a decision is really hard. And you don't have to make a decision set in stone, right? Like, we can always change our minds, but it is easier to sit on the fence because you don't have to dig deep into all that you're feeling and all that you're thinking. And you don't have to face going to get fertility support and maybe being turned away, but maybe you're met with so much compassion and understanding and you receive that support and then you go on to have and grow your family. But I never even allowed for that opportunity. And at the time I had, as I've shared in the past, really incurred some really horrific fat phobia from the medical community. And I wasn't seeking any medical treatments. Since then, I've really prioritized my health and came up with a better care team that meets me where I'm at. But it's a journey, right? As we hear on the show, it is hard to connect with size-friendly care providers, but it's something we all deserve and should fight for. So the years just, they fly by, my friends, and the older you get, the faster they pass. And now, in a matter of weeks, I shall be 43. And while, yes, I could go to that doctor's visit and make that preconception visit, I'm not in that place anymore. I'm really not. Like, I'm aging and I'm noticing changes within my body, like my vision. I can't read Netflix descriptions from the couch to the TV without grabbing my glasses. Like, there are just signs to me that my body is telling me, hey, we're moving on in a different and awesome direction. Like, yeah, struggles too. Like, I really wish I didn't have to always have glasses on. But my body is aging and I'm recognizing that. And while I still have regular periods, I don't feel like I want to go through pregnancy and birth again. And that is hard to say, but it feels right. Like, it feels so bittersweet. Like, it's sad. Like, I always wanted to give my son a sibling. I have a sister and I know what that bond is like, and to have another baby and to nurture and love another child just sounds so beautiful and wonderful, but also so exhausting and a lot, especially having a 12-year-old. Like, that's a big gap. So I really am at a place where, of course, talking about it openly with you is so much different than the thinking about it in my head and working towards, like, this place of being okay. Like, I've really done a lot of, like, internal work saying it. Like, this is the first time I've really vocalized it, except for conversations with Chris. But I've noticed I've started to say stuff like, I'm ready not to have a period anymore. Like, I just feel like my body is helping to prepare me for this next phase of life. Like, the wrinkles, they are starting to appear. Not much gray hair yet, but my husband has so much. And I don't want to go into, like, middle age feeling devastated that I didn't pursue growing my family. I want to go into middle age being like, yes, I'm going to own the word ma'am and feel fine about it, and everything's going to be okay. And I'm still going to rock, like, dresses with leggings and headbands, and I don't care. Like, I'm still going to be me, and I'm still going to carry myself with confidence, but I'm noticing the changes within my body. And unless you're kind of at that beginning of the turning point, I think it's hard to fully understand, but I feel like no one prepared me like, Jen, you gotta act or the decision will be made for you. And so I feel like, well, I still have regular periods, so clearly the decision is not completely made for me. My body is telling me that it is time to let go. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful because for so long I was waiting for a sign, and I think I thought that that sign was pregnancy. I really do. But I realize now that I just needed time. I needed more time to grieve for the family I thought I'd have and learn to love and embrace the family I'm so lucky to be a part of every day. And that makes me smile. And it also makes me cry a little. Because going through a loss is hard. Letting go of your fertility for some is hard. For others, it's like, I do not want to ever be pregnant again. And for a long time, I've been jealous of those people. Like, oh, wow, they know that. And they feel so confident about that. Like, when will I know that? And through really working on that myself internally, internal dialogues, I like to like solve my problems and world's problems while I take a shower. But also spending time with my friends who have had young babies, especially my friend locally, Brianna. I see how hard it is. I was reminded of how hard it is and how beautiful it is too. But just holding her baby over these past 6 months has been the first time healing for me to know that it's okay that I won't have another baby, as opposed to up until this experience, every time I held a baby, I wanted my own. And there was nothing, there wasn't like a light switch that went off. It's just been a gradual coming to terms and coming to acceptance. And that has been my journey with letting go of my fertility. And it's just so, we all have a different journey, but I feel like we don't talk about it. So that's why I'm talking about it. And I'm probably like talking in 12 different directions because I'm literally treating this like a therapy session. But I don't think there's any right or wrong way to go about this. I think therapy is probably a better way to go about this. Not better, but a good way. I'm still working on that. But I just, for example, like friends that are like, no more kids for me. Like, I was jealous of them knowing that, but also like, that's so cool that you know that. Like, when will I know that? And so I guess I want to share my story for anyone who has lived on the fence for as many years as I have, like a decade, because we had our loss in 2012 and it is 2022 right now. That is 10 years that literally went by in a blink of an eye. Like, I can't even express to you how quickly life will pass you by as a young parent. Like, it just goes by so fast. When you're in the thick of it, it feels like it's dragging on forever. But you look back and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, how did I go from having this little baby to now my kid is like days away from being taller than me? It's so weird and so cool at the same time. Like, it goes by so fast. So when, if you want to live on the fence, then I think you're actively making the decision to leave it up to fate, knowing that the window will absolutely close on you. So I encourage people, I just want to put this out into the world, like you have your own journey. And I, of course, am not going to tell you what to do. But if there is any part of you questioning, deeply questioning your desire to have more children, pursue that. Don't live on the fence. Because the decision will be made for you. And that was my path, and that's okay. It's totally fine. But emotionally, it was really hard for a really long time. A really long time. A very long time. And I feel like I've just recently come to the place of acceptance. I've just recently started talking to my husband about how menopause doesn't sound so bad. And maybe that has something to do. I'll tell you a funny story since we're going so serious on stuff, and why not? One of the most mortifying experiences of my life happened recently to do with my period. So TMI, but we got all TMI on the show, right? I was visiting my in-laws and I was on my period, and we were all sitting around the dining room table, and I moved chairs over because my husband and some of his friends joined the table. And we were hanging out for a while, and then eventually I got up, and my father-in-law and I, at the same time, noticed a little spot on their beautiful white chair. And then he scratched at it. And in that moment, when his nail contacted the fabric, we locked eyes. And we both knew what it was. And I died inside. I literally died. And then I looked over and I saw that I had not only stained one chair, I had stained both chairs. Ever since that experience, I've been like, yeah, I'm ready to never have a period again. Like, I think so many of us have a traumatic period story, but until you've locked eyes with your father-in-law scratching at it, I think I win. I win. If you have a better story than that, will you please come on the show and tell it? Let's normalize traumatic period stories too, because menstruation is normal. So hopefully that made you chuckle. It has still traumatized me. I just spent time with him and let us never, ever speak of the story again. I will hopefully never go to their house ever again on my period. I will schedule things out. It is safe for me to go to my in-laws' house. Oh, my traumatic experience. Woo! Okay, so anyways. But yeah, after that, who wants to ever have a period again? Not me. But we gotta laugh, right? Like, there's gonna be these moments that we come to a place of acceptance in our lives with trauma and joy and sorrow and grief, and then we pick the path that's right for us, and then we make detours, and life unfolds as it will. I never wanted to have a loss. I never wanted to have one child, but this is my life, and you know what? It is fantastic. It is beautiful. And every day I get to help other people become parents. And oh my gosh, that is like the greatest joy of my life. I thought my life would be helping people to have a really good death. And I think maybe like when I get older and stop doing as much birth work, I'd love to get back and be like a volunteer, like a death doula, because I think that's beautiful. Birth doula is also beautiful as well, but I've worked in these spectrums, and the core of it is meeting people where they're at with compassion and giving them choices. And there's so much with birth work that overlaps with end of life care. And we know that there is absolutely death within birth as well. And I just feel so privileged that this is what I get to do. So while I didn't get to have another baby of my own, I get to have the baby of plus size birth, and that those resources that I put out into the world and the show to get to help so many people. And through this show, I've been really vulnerable, sharing some of the most traumatic experiences of my life, but also the beautiful moments. And I think today is just, I just wanted to share that I've come to a place of letting go of my fertility and acceptance within that, and what that journey looked like, and that it's okay. But again, that encouragement that if you're on the fence, oh my goodness, I don't want to ever look back on my life with regret, but I would just encourage anyone else to please pursue your fertility, at least get some answers, at least figure out what's going on. That doesn't at all mean that you need to, you know, really work hard towards getting pregnant, but at least you'd know potentially what you could be up against, or if there's anything that you could do to improve your odds of getting pregnant if you're unsure or considering. I wish I would have done that, but it's okay that I didn't, because I was so busy building this. I was so busy building plus size birth and working so hard that I just kept putting it off. And then I was dealing with my own fears of being fat shamed by the healthcare providers. And then I just looked at the calendar and life had passed me by. And that's okay too, because I was really busy doing great things and raising my son to be a really great human. And I'm so fortunate that I have one child, that I had a birth that was so empowering and changed my life for the better, because I was supported by people who believed in me. And I believe in you. And I hope you know that. And I hope you know that I support your journey, whatever it looks like. I think I just wanted to share things that I could have done different and wish I had. But that I'm okay too with how things have unfolded, and now I'm ready to, as my husband and I were talking, like, we're like, we need to start a podcast called Sagging Gracefully. Like, I'm ready to sag gracefully. I'm ready to go into middle age. Like, I want, like, gray hair. I think that would look awesome on me. I just, it hasn't really started yet. My sister that was like, I can find them. I can find your gray hairs. And she totally found a couple. But they're kind of hidden under. But I'm ready to work towards embracing the wrinkles. And I think that this will be my next phase that we can go through together. And then we can talk about middle age and menopause. Like, hopefully not tomorrow. I mean, give me a few years. But I want to go into that with empowerment and not feeling ashamed or that I need to not represent who I am within middle age and becoming older, and that you can still rock whatever you want to rock. So yeah, let's do it. Let's get old together. Let's get old together. Let's keep going on this journey together. And I'm so lucky to be going on it with you. I hope this was an okay episode. I just really had some things on my heart that I wanted to share, and I felt good on this end, so I hope you enjoyed it too. I am truly wishing you all the best, whatever your fertility journey may look like, and I'm here for you. All right. Take care, friends. Until next time. Bye.